Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams, and the topic of today is cinnamon. Now, cinnamon, of course, is derived from tree bark. And remember how I've said that if you go walk in a forest, you can't find anything that's not medicine. Everything you could point at, from the tree bark to the leaves, the grass, even the stones or rocks that have minerals in them, the soil has soil microbes, and you know that, for example, ivermectin comes from soil microbes, and you know, the water in the trickling stream. Everything is a form of medicine in the natural world because God wanted medicine to be abundant. And so cinnamon, of course, is mentioned in many places in the Bible. Just bringing up a quick search on that, it's in Exodus chapter 30. Also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh. Sounds like a lot of myrrh. Half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, and so on. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 17, I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. We're going to talk about that aspect of it. Why did they perfume their beds with cinnamon? Well, cinnamon is antibacterial, and it also keeps away the bed bugs. Yeah, exactly. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, which, of course, I've got a song coming out about Song of Solomon. And in that song, I actually sing this verse, a spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. So that's literally in the song. You'll hear it because I'm singing about the herbs and spices. Actually, it's a rap song, so I'm rapping these lines. And spikenard is hard to rhyme, by the way, in a rap song. And then finally, if you go to Revelation chapter 18, starting with verse 12, says, merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. So this, to be understood in context, we got to go back to verse 9. As the world is mourning the fall of Babylon. So verse 9 says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her. And when they see the smoke of her burning, remember this is the burning of the city or the nation of Babylon, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And that's when it goes on and says, all these things that you value are going to be destroyed. You know, your gold and silver, your precious stones, your cattle, and your cinnamon. No, not the cinnamon. Cinnamon was very valuable in biblical times, as many spices were, because, you know, we didn't have, like, cinnamon factories, didn't have international shipping and cheap cinnamon from China and so on. So cinnamon was very valued, and there's no question that it is a very valuable natural medicinal herb. Now, in traditional Chinese medicine, it's used in numerous formulas, including anti-influenza formulas. And cinnamon really tastes great in Chinese medicine. I don't know if you've ever taken like spoonfuls of Chinese medicine, but having a little bit of cinnamon in it makes it go down better. And then cinnamon's also known in Western herbology, of course, as a blood sugar moderating herb. It has antibacterial properties, and it's one of the oils that's used in a first aid colloidal silver gel that I formulated years ago that has 7 essential oils in it. I think most of those are biblical oils, by the way. And these oils in combination are known to kill superbugs and all kinds of bacterial infections on the surface of skin. So if you're looking at why cinnamon was so valued in biblical times, it's because if you had cinnamon around, it would keep bugs away, it would kill bacteria, you would be healthier, and, you know, It smells great. And plus, you could also make delicious cinnamon tea out of it as well. But most of the ways they use cinnamon in the Bible was not as a tea. It's not like cinnamon apple cider spiced Christmas drink or whatever. No, it was, they would take loads of cinnamon and like spread it in the bed. And that's in Song of Solomon. But let's go to herbs of the Bible. Dr. James Duke, cinnamon is mentioned as one of them. And he quotes Proverbs chapter 7, verse 17. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. And the possible benefits of cinnamon, as listed by Dr. Duke, include the following. Bronchitis, candida, diabetes, remember I said blood sugar moderation, dyspepsia, fever, heartburn, herpes, pain, painful menstruation, rheumatism, and tuberculosis. Says the clever woman in Proverbs ensnared her young man by decorating her room with tapestry, carvings, and fine linen from Egypt, and perfuming them with aloes, cinnamon, and myrrh. Now, I don't know if you've ever used myrrh as an incense. You know, it's a resin, and when you burn myrrh as a resin, it kind of makes your room smell like a temple. It's one of those sort of temple-smelling resins. It's very nice. And cinnamon can be used alongside that. From the book, the cinnamon plant was imported from India and Sri Lanka to Egypt and the Holy Lands via Phoenician ships and Arabian caravans. In biblical times, cinnamon was more than a spice. It was used to prepare incense and holy oils for religious rites, medicine, and perfumes. Yeah, that's the other purpose I forgot to mention, is it's used in a lot of oil blends. Many different oil blends, especially those in biblical times, use at least a little bit of cinnamon oil. So remember that the volatile oils of cinnamon can be extracted using a distillation technique, or you can take the cinnamon bark and you can grind it into a powder, and that powder still retains the volatile oils, and then you can use that powder, you know, in your bed. I don't know if you have a bed bug problem, but I've heard that bed bugs are making a comeback, especially in hotels across America. So if you have a bed bug problem at your hotel, bring some cinnamon and just spread it out. And apparently that will help with the bed bugs. According to Exodus chapter 30, the translation reads that cinnamon was an ingredient in the holy oil that God ordered Moses to use in the tabernacle to anoint both the sacred vessels and the officiating priests. Cinnamon leaves, like laurel leaves, were woven into decorative wreaths in Roman temples. Now, remember that the word anoint doesn't mean just a little tiny drop on your forehead, although sometimes in modern day religious practices, that's the way it's used symbolically. But in ancient times, or in the Bible, anoint means to do things like pour it all over your head. My cup runneth over. With what? Well, with the anointed oils. They use this stuff quite liberally, at least those who had access to it, royalty and kings and so on, and people who were close to royalty, because these were very, very expensive. This would be the modern day equivalent of like buying silver to be able to get spices brought by caravan from India. You know, that was not an inexpensive or riskless trip to make. So these spices were very, very expensive. But if you were royalty, you could use them liberally, and they did. And remember, they didn't have, you know, modern day deodorants, and they didn't have all these skin lotions and shampoos and everything. And so they did not bathe nearly as often as we would today, typically. And that's why even in Song of Solomon, the Shulamite girl is saying, you know, hey, I wash my feet. You know, like saying that to the king, like, isn't that sexy? I even wash my feet. That's what she's saying. Like, hey, that's a good start. You know, in modern times, they're like, guess what? We have running water and modern plumbing and everything. But back then they didn't. So they wouldn't bathe very often, and they would rely on a lot of herbs and spices and oils to rub on themselves to cover up the otherwise, you know, body odors. And seriously, that's the way humanity rolled for a few thousand years. But back to the book by Dr. Duke. A cinnamon has been used medicinally for thousands of years. Ancient Chinese use it as early as 2700 BC. Yep. Like I said, it's part of a lot of formulas of TCM, traditional Chinese medicine. The Egyptians used cinnamon in ancient embalming mixtures, probably because of its antibacterial and antifungal effects. In the 12th century, Hildegard of Bingen recommended it as the universal spice for sinuses and to treat colds, flu, cancer, and so-called inner decay and slime. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a doctor look at you funny and diagnose you with, quote, inner decay and slime, but that sounds like a bad diagnosis. It sounds like, what do you mean? What do you mean slime? What are you talking about? Well, if you've been diagnosed with inner decay and slime, your prognosis is not good. You may want to get your will in order, all those kinds of things. But hey, cinnamon counteracts inner decay and slime, which might have been a way to describe cancer, right? Inner decay, sort of an internal rotting at some level, at least the cancer tumors themselves. I don't know what slime is. Doesn't sound good. But whatever slime refers to, cinnamon is anti-slime. So that's good to know. Back to the book. Cinnamon obtained from the inner bark is dried in the shape of quills or cinnamon sticks. And it's kind of cool to see raw cinnamon sticks. They're like little curved shavings. Today, we primarily use cinnamon as a flavoring spice. Hot apple cider, toast, cookies, candies, and fruit salads seem to improve with a dash of cinnamon powder. But try steeping a quill of cinnamon in a glass of cranberry juice. Cinnamon can soothe the stomach, possibly preventing ulcers. Modern science has shown what the ancients, herbalists, and Hildegard knew all along. Cinnamon can prevent infection and indigestion, as well as a host of other bodily ailments, especially slime, including fever, diarrhea, and menstrual problems. Now, why is this the case? In modern chemistry, if you look at cinnamon and its constituents, you find out it contains the anti-tumor agent known as benzaldehyde. Benzaldehyde, okay? Its antiseptic properties help kill the bacteria that cause tooth decay and gum disease. See, this is why cinnamon mouthwash products are really helpful. I've formulated cinnamon mouthwash products with colloidal silver, by the way, and other oils. And if you're not rinsing your teeth with cinnamon, you're missing out. You're missing out. Seriously. The more cinnamon, the better. Not everybody loves cinnamon, though. A few people don't like it, but for the most part, people do enjoy it. And as an oral rinse, it is absolutely fantastic. Again, this is one of the molecules of God. God put it in the tree bark. It's natural medicine for us to access. It's designed for you and me. All right, it kills disease-causing fungi and viruses, and it might even head off urinary tract infections. And the fungus responsible for vaginal yeast infections, Candida, all benefits. Plus, it blocks slime. More importantly, it may help diabetes, type 2, or non-insulin-dependent diabetes. The pancreas produces insulin, but the body cannot use it efficiently to break down glucose. The simple sugar that fuels body functions, that's glucose. USDA researchers have discovered that cinnamon reduces the amount of insulin needed for glucose metabolism. In other words, well, I'm going to say it in my own words, cinnamon increases the glucose uptake sensitivity of the body's cells in the presence of minimal insulin. Or as Dr. Duke writes, this herb may help metabolize sugar for diabetics whose bodies have trouble doing so. 1/8 of a teaspoon of cinnamon was shown to triple insulin efficiency, according to USDA research. So here's a question for some of you. I know we have listeners who are type 2 diabetics, and so you are taking a certain number of units of insulin each day, right? Or with meals or before, after meals, however you manage your blood sugar. And you may also be concerned about economic collapse, about supply chains, because as you know, insulin has to be refrigerated in order to remain viable. And even then, it has a very short shelf life. So one of the questions you might have is, well, how do I extend the life of insulin? Or how do I use the limited amount of insulin that I have, and how do I make it last longer? Guess what? The answer is right here. God's molecules, cinnamon. This is what Dr. Duke is writing about. Again, 1/8 of a teaspoon of cinnamon was shown to triple insulin efficiency, according to USDA research. So, you know, that means that if you're using, let's say, 12 units of insulin, perhaps you could use only 4 plus take cinnamon, and the cinnamon would make that insulin as effective as 12 units. That's nice to know. And also, if you're trying to stockpile insulin, you know, you could perhaps use this technique and you could stockpile extra insulin for the future in case the pharmaceutical supply chain is cut off. So very good information to note here, right? Given that insulin, there's no natural plant form of insulin, right? You can't like grow insulin in plants. I think pharmaceutical companies get it from pigs, I believe. I don't know exactly, but it's not from plants. So God did not put insulin in plants, but he did put insulin enhancers in plants, and that's called cinnamon. And isn't it amazing that we have so many diabetics in our country today, and almost nobody's heard about this? How crazy is that? And you know, type 2 diabetes is especially prevalent among Hispanic Americans, who culturally they tend to drink a ton of soda and high fructose corn syrup. I mean, for whatever reason, they're chugging soda like crazy, which causes, of course, type 2 diabetes, and nobody's telling them. Cinnamon. And there are also minerals that enhance the uptake of insulin by the body's cells. One of those, by the way, is chromium, trace mineral, chromium, which is usually missing from modern foods. But cinnamon is key. There are also other herbs such as Gymnema sylvestre that are related to this. Anyway, you know, we'll talk about some of this perhaps in other sermons, but cinnamon in the Bible prominently. Now, the reason in the Bible that they don't talk about blood sugar problems is because diabetes was virtually unheard of in the days of the Bible. I mean, think about it. They didn't have soda. They didn't have high fructose corn syrup, did they? So almost nobody had diabetes. And also, they were physically active. They were not typically obese. It was rare to find somebody in the old world that was obese and sedentary. You know, they weren't sitting there watching TV on their couch. There was no TV. They weren't watching their iPhones all day. There were no iPhones, right? So this is a modern problem, diabetes, type 2, and type 1 being an autoimmune disorder that can be worsened by vaccine injections that cause, you know, self-allergies, you could say, because of the adjuvants made from, well, squalene and other toxic ingredients. That's a whole different conversation right there. But think about cinnamon as a powerful medicine from God that is mentioned throughout the Bible, yet the people in the time of the Bible didn't even know the best application of cinnamon, which is to enhance the sensitivity of the insulin that your body produces. Fascinating, isn't it? So God's molecules, God's natural medicine, speaks to different people in different ways across different epochs of time. The cinnamon tree means one thing to one generation, and then it means something totally different to a different generation. And that's the way God works, and that's the way the Bible works. Now, Dr. Duke mentions that cinnamon oil, which is distilled from the leaves, is a powerful germicide, but if you put it directly on your skin, guess what? It's going to cause your skin to turn red, and it will cause some burning. So you don't want to just take cinnamon oil and slather it on your skin in pure form. And formulations that use cinnamon oil, I found this out myself too, you would use typically less than 5% of cinnamon oil, sometimes like 2%, with the rest being other carrier oils or different types of, you know, less harsh oils. So just be careful about this. Don't go pouring cinnamon oil on your head. It's going to burn your eyes and sinuses and make your skin all red. Also, Dr. Duke says, taken internally, he's talking about the cinnamon oil, it can cause nausea, vomiting, and possibly even kidney damage. Don't consume straight cinnamon oil. Yeah. Well, your mouth will tell you that too. If you try to like drink pure cinnamon oil, your mouth will send up a giant red alert like, whoa, this is not food. And so, you know, you'll spit it out. So some other uses around the world, expectant mothers are given hot cinnamon tea with ginger and caraway to prevent blood clotting. Interesting, in our world of, you know, clots and people dying suddenly from all kinds of clots and foreign proteins circulating in people's bodies. Kind of good to know ways to maybe prevent clots. Lebanese use cinnamon as a stimulant to relieve colds, rheumatism, and halitosis, as well as to check slobbering in young and elderly people. So if you have a slobbering child, apparently cinnamon is, I've never seen that listed on the label. You know, good for rheumatoid arthritis, colds, bad breath, and slobbering children. Yes, okay. Ayurvedics consider cinnamon bark an aphrodisiac and a tonic. They use the oil for belching or vomiting, flatulence, loss of appetite, and nausea. They use the oil for belching or vomiting. I think he means they use the oil to treat belching and vomiting. It sounds here like if you wanted to belch and vomit, you could take some extra oil and flatulence on top of that. What if you also were slobbering on top of that? Just like belching, farting, vomiting, and slobbering, and you walk up to somebody like, help me, please. What they said, oh, you need cinnamon. Yeah, clearly. Cinnamon is used to stimulate the uterine muscles to reduce excessive bleeding during menstruation and during tedious labor to correct defective uterine contractions. So those of you listening who are midwives, I'd be curious to know, do you use cinnamon during live births? Because that sounds very useful, huh? Might burn a little bit, though. You would have to, obviously, you know, dilute it. Cinnamon has been regarded as a folk remedy for cancer, including cancers of the rectum, breast, gums, mouth, stomach, and uterus. It's been used as a remedy for hardening of soft tissue, spleen, breast, uterus, liver, and stomach, and tumors of the abdomen, liver, and sinews. So there you go. How can you not love cinnamon after learning all that? Just remember, there's cinnamon bark, and then there's cinnamon oil, which is distilled from, usually from the leaves. But there can also be oil distilled from the bark, but it's usually from the leaves. Nevertheless, be safe with this. Enjoy cinnamon. Note that it has been used, you know, for thousands of years, and that cinnamon is one of God's amazing miracles of medicine in Mother Nature, and there's nothing else like cinnamon. There's nothing else. And a lot of other herbs are kind of similar, but not cinnamon. It stands alone. It's all on its own. It's got its own properties, its own taste, its own smell. Very special. So take advantage of that. And right now, it's incredibly affordable. And you don't have to be a king with a king's salary in order to afford cinnamon or cinnamon oil. So take advantage of that wherever you can and use it in your foods and use it in your life, you know, in your bug sprays and maybe in your bed if you want to go like full biblical. Spread a little bit of cinnamon powder in your bed sheets. Like, bed bugs be gone. Cast out the demons of bed bugs like Christ at the temple. You know, if you're sleeping next to your spouse and they keep tossing and turning and spasming, you're like, are they possessed by demons? Nope, it's just bed bugs. Just get some cinnamon in there. You'll be fine. All right, anyway, that's the sermon for today, all about cinnamon. Lovely stuff. I love the fact that it's mentioned in the Bible. And of course, we have 100 sermons where you can learn about foods and spices, nutrients, herbs, superfoods in some cases, and you can learn about scripture at the same time. So wherever you found this sermon, you'll find the other 99 sermons as they are published. We're on sermon number 32 or 33, something like that right now. So we're about one third of the way through this batch, and we've barely scratched the surface. It's going to be lots of fun. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams. God bless you all. Take care.